You're listening to Tegan Philpott on ABC Tropical North.
When I spoke with Steve Lowry from Allman Partners last week, we were chatting about the Bitcoin bubble. I was confused. I don't know about you, but Steve explains it very well. Here, he talks of the Bitcoin phenomenon and the bubble slash boom and then bust. That is inevitable, right?
Well, Tegan, there's a lot of talk at the moment about Bitcoin because the originally the Bitcoin started off trading at about 3 cents, and in September it traded at an all-time high of $5,000. And people are starting to say, what is Bitcoin?
It's imaginary money on the internet, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, it's an online currency.
Okay.
And so when it was invented, it was based on a mathematical formula for people to trade electronically. And the benefit, I guess, is of where they were coming from with what they call cryptocurrency, is it's not regulated by any authority.
Ah.
So it's not like getting an Australian dollar, which is then market linked to the US dollar, etc. It's a currency on its own in cyberspace, which allows me to buy something off you and we can exchange our bitcoins. And of course, supply and demand have made the price of Bitcoin go absolutely crazy.
Well, here comes my question then. If we don't know where it sits in the market, how do we know how much a Bitcoin is worth?
Well,
how's that determined?
Yeah, well, it's a mathematical formula. The gentleman who invented it, Satoshi Nakamoto,
mm-hmm.
which is probably a pseudonym for somebody else, like
yes,
a little
usually.
16-year-old sitting yeah. in a computer room somewhere. The system's designed to how you get a Bitcoin is you mine it.
Okay.
And there was a limit of 21 million Bitcoins that were available. And so, again, supply and demand will drive what the price is worth. But then it gets really complicated because then you can actually break down your Bitcoin into up to thousands of a piece.
Right. So it's like getting a $100 note and breaking it into 5 cent pieces, right?
Basically.
I'm trying to make sense of this here.
Yeah. So what's the risk? I mean, you know, if it started off in 2010 worth 3 cents and it's trading at $4,600, I think, today, what do you think the risk is in this thing?
Well, that the market's going to fall at some stage and you may pay $4,600 for one Bitcoin and it goes back to being worth 3 cents.
Well,
could that happen?
Well, there's a lot of people who are wanting to buy Bitcoin. Of course, now it's in the news and the price has gone up so much. There'd probably be people listening going, I remember when that first came out and I thought, I should buy some of those. And now they're probably kicking themselves. But I think that the real issue to look at with anything like this is if prices go up so quickly, you've got to say it's probably a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And that bubble
is going to burst at some stage.
Well, maybe Bitcoin will keep going on, but let's talk about the risks. So because it's not regulated, what do you think the governments are going to do when they start seeing this currency flying all over the world that they can't control?
Well, they're not going to like that at all, and they can't tax it, they can't control it, they have no way of regulating it. They don't know, you know, if there's 21 million Bitcoins now, could there be another 21 million and will that change things? There's so many variables, aren't there?
Yeah, well, it's only one of the cryptocurrencies as well. So there's other ones being released. But, you know, whenever you get anything there's that sort of mania involved in it, you've got to look at history and say, well, there's probably some lessons that we can learn. And you know, some people might have bought them at 3 cents and sold them at $1,000, and good luck to you. There's always some winners in any bubble. But generally when you start hearing the taxi driver saying, I'm thinking about buying some Bitcoins, and I'm seeing clients come in at the moment, new clients come in saying, I want to buy some Bitcoins, where can I get them?
Right.
So that really worries you. So when you look at the regulation in Cyprus in 2013, they banned Bitcoin.
Oh,
they basically
can
said,
you do that?
Yep.
Okay.
So in their country, it's not allowed to be traded. And recently, the Chinese government, because they have a rule of how much you can take out of the country every year, so it's mandated for every person in China can only take out XYZ, But that wasn't being applied to Bitcoin. And so a lot of people were flooding in, Chinese were flooding into Bitcoin to be able to get their money to go cross country.
Cross a border, I suppose, that isn't really there because it's the internet.
Exactly.
It just complicates things, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, you can't touch it and feel it.
Yeah. I think it's almost funny that they call it a Bitcoin in the fact that it's not a coin at all. It's just air.
It's a good note. I guess we're going to a cashless society as well with our currency. But just recently the Chinese government have come out and said, you know, we're really worried about this. People are taking more money out of the country than we would allow. So they've just banned Bitcoin in China.
Goodness.
So
no Facebook and no Bitcoin.
Gone.
Their lives are over.
Gone. So the price of Bitcoin went from $5,000 at its all-time high down to $2,600 overnight.
Wow. Just because China pulled out of the Bitcoin market.
Mm.
Goodness. Mm. So, I mean, I know there are a lot of people in China and they are quite a big entity these days. But still, for just one country to make such a difference, is that part of your bubble issue?
Well, I think so, because if that's a trend and you start to see regulation come into this space, the value, which is all about supply and demand, if the demand starts to fall, supply becomes larger, the price has to fall. Having said that, though, and this is another indication of bubbles, only a week later after China made that ruling, the price went back up to $4,600. That's a pretty big swing in a week,
isn't it? Especially if you sold your shares when they were only 2,500.
That's right.
You'd be kicking yourself, wouldn't you?
Again,
this is where we get to the whole share market, Bitcoin, that kind of issue, is that things do ebb and flow, and that's where you need to not look. You've got to keep the blinkers on so that you can live your life and not be looking every 5 minutes, so that you don't drive yourself insane, no matter what it is.
Look, if you're getting those sort of swings in prices, you've got to say there's an issue. There's a fundamental issue. Mm. Is the value really there, or is it again just this supply and demand issue? I'll take you back a lesson in the 1600s.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Netherlands, the Dutch hadn't seen tulips.
Okay.
And so they started importing tulips from Turkey, and when they started growing them, they noticed that the flowers were getting a virus. Non-lethal virus to the plant, but it was throwing out these real amazing sort of colours and designs and whatnot. And so there was just this whole mania, which they called the tulip mania, of wanting to buy tulips and then resell them.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the principles of supply and demand were such that people were actually selling their estates to buy tulips.
Goodness!
Isn't that extraordinary?
It just seems unfathomable that I would sell my house to buy flowers.
Yep. So the whole country went berserk. People were selling their homes. They were buying all these tulip bulbs, hoping to sell them to unsuspecting foreigners when they would come over. Eventually, reality came back into the market, and pretty well overnight, the price of a tulip went to zero or back to a market. So people, when they started to see that volatility, went, oh, my God, I've sold the family estate, or I've borrowed X, Y, Z, and their investments went broke.
If I came to you and said, I am adamant, I want to get bitcoins, here's my $100,000 of superannuation, what would your advice then be to me? Would you say, look, there's a bubble thing here, put 50% in the safe stuff and 50% at Bitcoin, or stay away from Bitcoin? What would you tell me?
What I'd say is, what's the fundamentals? So in any investment, you've got to be able to look at the risk and the return. And what are the fundamentals? Why do you buy an investment? And first of all, if you're going to buy a business, you're buying it for the income, the profit.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to buy a property, you're buying it for the income, the rent. And you hope that as the property price grows, the rent grows. Or as the share price grows, your dividends grow.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fundamentals of the economy. So I would just ask, what is the fundamental of owning a piece of cryptocurrency that can't be defined? And if the price is rising as quickly as that, it can reverse as quickly as we just saw. So my advice would be, if you're going to put money into something like that, it is a real gamble. And you would only put money in there that you're prepared to lose.
Steve Lowry and his thoughts on the Bitcoin phenomenon. And please remember that all advice and conversation is of general nature here today at ABC Tropical North. For specifics based upon your individual situation, please seek the advice of your preferred financial advisor. ABC Tropical North.